John chapter 4. We're in this long section, verses 7 through 21. We're going to take verses 7 through 10 today. So we'll begin our reading at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, we should be loving one another, because love, literally the love, is from God. Here's one of our phrases that means from God as a source. And everyone who is loving, present participle, shows a continuous activity. Everyone who is loving has been born from out of God as a source and is knowing God. The one not loving, one who does not have a continuous love of God in his life, did not know God, because God is love. This is what is called the predicate position, which means this is a quality. This is a form of God. It doesn't say love is God. It says God is love. His nature is his quality. In this was manifested the love of God among us, that he sent his only unique Son into the world in order that we should live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he himself loved us and sent his Son a propitiation or satisfaction concerning our sins. And the next section starts with beloved again. We'll take this first part of this last section, verses 7 through 10. We'll go slowly because of the importance of the material itself and the text. 1 John chapter 3, at verse 24, is the pivotal verse for chapters 3 and 4. Chapters 3 and 4 pivot on 1 John 3:24 when it says, "And the one keeping his commandments is dwelling in him, and he in him. And in this we know that he is dwelling in us from the Spirit which he gave to us." I know God dwells in me because his Spirit dwells in me. And he gave me his Spirit to dwell in me. And from his Spirit comes the concern for purity, comes the concern for being right with God, and the concern for the love which God has for me and for others, as he laid out in chapter 3. But here in chapter 4, based on chapter 3, verse 24, that his Spirit is dwelling in me, he said in verse 1, he gave two commands: stop believing every spirit, but keep on testing the spirits if they are from out of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. The first test was verses 2 and 3, the confession of the believer. And I've had questions on this because people still don't quite get what the text is saying, that if people say that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, then it says they're of God. To put it from the original language into more of our understanding in English, it would be the anointing of Yeshua has come in the flesh. The anointing of Yahweh God has come in the flesh. He was all God and he was all man. Remember, the Gnostics in John's day denied that Jesus had a physical body, because all physical things are evil. So everyone that confesses that the anointing of Yahweh has come in Yeshua in human form is of God. Second one, the second test in verse 4, the confirmation of the believer. It says, "You are from out of God as a source, and you have overcome them." That is, the spirit of Antichrist, because greater is the one who is in you than the one who is in the world. Confirmation that I belong to Christ is that he's keeping me. He's protecting me. And I already have the victory because he dwells inside of me. And then thirdly, verses 5 and 6, the constitution of the believer is that we belong to God because we listen to those whom God inspired to present his word. John, Peter, Paul, the others. John says, those who are of God hear us. Those who are of the world, they listen to those who speak from out of the world. In the first hour this morning, we talked about how the flesh is presented as being part of the things of God and part of the blessings and promises of God. That's from out of the world. That appeals to the flesh. Some people like to hear that kind of thing. But John says, those who are of God, he says, listen to us. He says, from out of this we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of the error. Spirit of truth, spirit of God will lead people to God's word and receive what God's word has to say. Those who are of the spirit of error listen to those who speak from out of the world, the spirit of Antichrist, that appeal to the flesh. Now, as we begin verses 7 through 21 is one complete section divided up into two parts. Verses 7 through 10 and then verses 11 through 21. It is important to understand verses 7 through 21 describes the fulfillment or completion of the process of love. The process of love. Verses 7 through 21 describe the fulfillment or completion of the process of love. So he's going to present a 7-part process for us explaining about love. Since love, the love of the brethren, is the key to God's Spirit dwelling within a person's life. He's going to present 7 parts that describe this process. Now, it describes the completion or fulfillment of love. The reason why I use those words is because the word perfect in this text, used in verses 12, 17, and twice in 18, is the key theme of the text. He says in 1 John 4:12 that if you love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. That means fulfilled or completed. In verse 17, he says, in this the love has been perfected with us in order that we might have confidence in the day of judgment. Then verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love is casting out fear, because fear has torment, and the one who is fearing has not been made perfect in love. It's the word complete or fulfilled. God's love is brought to completion when God's Spirit comes into a person's spirit or heart. The love process starts with God himself, expressed through the sending of his Son, and is completed when a person receives Christ. The entire process of love is then complete or fulfilled, and then love has been perfected, fulfilled, or completed in us. This is John's 3rd time talking about love. In chapter 2, verses 7 through 11, he said that love was the proof of fellowship. Chapter 2, verses 7 through 11, that love is the proof of fellowship. In chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, that love is the proof of sonship. Now he has come back to love again. After touching on it, in 2 points, he now describes the process of love. For today, verses 7 and 8 is the condition of love. Verses 7 and 8, the condition of love. Verses 9 and 10, the character of love. The condition of love, verses 7 and 8. The character of love, verses 9 and 10. He starts off in verse 7. The condition of love. Beloved, we should be loving one another. That's the condition that we should be in if we are of the Lord. It is not an expectation, an encouragement of a human activity. It's something that should already be going on if we know the Lord. Love puts us in a condition, first of all, is that we should be loving one another. Secondly, the source of love says, because love is from out of God. That's the prepositional phrase there. Out of God means out of God as a source. Love is from out of God as a source. Therefore, if you have God and His Spirit in you, we should be loving one another. It should be a condition that already exists. Because God is a source. Then he says, and everyone who is loving, literal translation, because it's a present participle describing continuous action or presence, or more literally, condition. Everyone who is loving has been born from out of God as a source. Term born is what is called a perfect tense. Continuous present result based on a past action. I was born out of God once by His Spirit, and that birth still, that condition of birth still stands today. Everyone who is loving has been born from out of God, and thirdly, knows God. Those are the three conditions of somebody who's been born of the Spirit of God and is a genuine Christian. That person is loving. We should be loving one another. And the one who is continuously has the love of God in his life, that person has been born from out of God as a source. That's a condition. And the third condition is that that person is continuously knowing God. The word know, gnosko, in human relationships, it's used of the physical relationships between husband and wife. It shows a very intimate relationship. The person who has been born from out of God knows God intimately, personally, in their spirit. They know God. But verse 8 tells us the fourth condition, three conditions of the believer and one condition of the one who does not know the Lord. It says, the one not loving. Doesn't say he performs acts of love. The one who is continuously not loving did not know God. The reason? Because God is love. So we have our first section, the condition of love. We also have a subheading from these seven sections, as John also tells us about love itself, the condition of the believer and the fruit of the believer's life, but also the description of love. Verses 7 and 8 is the condition of love. Three conditions of the believer. Believer should be loving. The believer has been born from out of God. And the believer knows God. Continuous basis, personal and intimate. Verse 8 says, the condition of the non-believers, they do not have love in them at all. That is God's love. Because the condition is they did not know God. And the reason is because God is love. And again, the word love is in the predicate position. We can say God is love, but it doesn't say love is God. And it's that way to show us that love is the quality of God's nature. So in the sub-study title sections, number one, out of love, that the source of love is God, not man. It says love in verse 7, we should be loving one another because love is from out of God. Tells us quite plainly that the source of love is God, not man. In Galatians 5:22, Paul expressed this by saying that the fruit of God's Spirit is love and joy and peace, but it says agape. God is a source of love. God's Spirit produces love. And at the end of verse 8, when it says God is love, the quality of love, it's His nature. The quality of God, of love, is the very nature of God Himself. So what he's saying here is that the process is that God Himself in His nature, He is love. To those in whose lives He places His Spirit, they now have the love of God in them because His Spirit dwells in them. They've been born of the Spirit of God, and they have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. Therefore, they are loving. You say, well, wait a minute. I don't see much love. God's love has a deeper understanding to it than what we apply to it in our human understanding. We quote Scripture and we encourage one another to go out and love people. But love is not from human source. Love is from God, out of God. And once God's Spirit, God doesn't give us love, but once God's Spirit comes into our life, we have the quality of love that has come from His very nature. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it tells us that we who know Christ, we have been made to be partakers of the divine nature. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, Paul says, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He gave to us. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts because God gave us His Spirit. Love is not a human action. Love is the very nature of God Himself. When God's Spirit comes into my heart, since His nature is love, I now have the love of God. Now, the meaning of agape love I gave to you before, but a good meaning that fits in with what the word agape means, it means to be concerned about someone's spiritual welfare. Spiritual welfare. When God looked at the human race, He saw that we needed a Savior. We needed someone to pay the penalty for our sins and that we couldn't do it for ourselves. So He sent us His Son to be the sufficiency for our sins. That's love. It wasn't with the attitude of, you don't deserve this, but I guess I got to bail you out. With the attitude that He wanted to favor us, He wanted to grace us, He wants to have mercy on us, and He makes that provision for us. So the first thing of seven that we have to understand about the love of God is the condition of love. You're born of the Spirit of God. You are in a condition of loving. God's Spirit is constantly active in our hearts and lives and constantly giving us a concern for the spiritual things of Christ. We wouldn't be here today if that wasn't true. That's why it's dangerous to just be doing church. The motivation should be love. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's all based on love. But it's not the love that comes from us. It's the love that God has already put there because we can't love. Secondly, verses 9 and 10, the character of love. In this was manifested the love of God amongst us, that he sent his only unique Son into the world in order that we might live through him. The manifestation of love. Did you know that the Bible teaches that love is manifested? It is not a human expression or an activity. It is manifested by God. He reveals it. He makes it appear because it comes from God and comes from His Spirit. It can be expressed through a human being, but it is not a human expression or activity, but a manifestation. The love of God was manifested in this. And so we understand the love of God by what God did for us. I don't understand his love. But he says it's manifested in this, that he sent his only unique Son. That's what the word only begotten means. Only unique. The one who was sent by God for this very special purpose. He could satisfy God's requirement for sin. God sent him into the world, the purpose in order that we should live through him. Very strange statement. In order that we should live through him, the purpose of it all. God's love was manifested and sent his only unique Son into the world. The purpose is in order that we should live through him. According to God, without Christ, you're not living. A person is spiritually dead. In Peter's writings, the King James translates it brute beasts, which just literally means sophisticated animals, living an animal existence without any ability to think the things of God or have an intimate relationship with God, just like animals do. But when Christ comes in a person's life, spiritually they become alive. The Bible says only then will you live. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Therefore, if a person doesn't have Christ, they don't have life. In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, Paul says, the law of the life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. He says it's a law. The life of Christ is a law. That once the life of Christ comes in, you are made alive to God. It's a law, one of God's laws. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, I've been crucified. Like we studied last Monday night in Colossians, Paul says, you died, and your life has been hidden in Christ. Paul says, I have been crucified. Nevertheless, I keep living, yet not I, but it's Christ in me. It gives me life. Many people don't realize that not only did Jesus come to die for our sins and to pay the penalty for our sins, but he also came into our hearts that we might live through him. Verse 10, in this is the love, not that we have loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as propitiation. Hilasmon means satisfaction. And it was used of the sacrifices in the Old Testament to satisfy God's requirement. God sent his Son into the world to satisfy God's requirements concerning our sins. Verse 10 tells us, we didn't and we don't love God. God loves us. Later on in this section, we'll read how John will say, we love him because he first loved us. It's not a love that we produce. It is a love that God produces in response to his own love. What a tremendous statement. Well, first of all, verses 7 and 8, the condition of love puts the believer in a condition of continuously under the influence of the love of God, continually concerned about the things of Christ, continually concerned about the spiritual welfare of others. All of that is mixed in with our own human feelings, and that's why it's hard to accept the fact that we are constantly under the influence of God's love, because the flesh is fighting against it. But his Spirit is there constantly, giving us a concern for the things of Christ and a concern for others and their spiritual welfare. But the believer is always in a condition of being under the love of God in their life. They have been born from God and they know God. The three conditions of the believer and the condition of the non-believer is that they are not under the influence of the love of God because they never knew him. Because God is love. You can't separate God from love or love from God. His very nature, the very quality of his Spirit is love. Verses 9 and 10, the character of love. Love is not an activity, a human activity or a human expression. It is manifested. It's revealed by God to us, in us, and through us. It's not something that the human being produces. Part of God's love is that we should live through him. Now he's paid the penalty for our sins, but he's given us his Spirit that we might live. That's love. It's not based on us having loved him. Interesting, perfect tense in verse 10. Not that we have loved God at any time, but that God loved us and sent his Son as the satisfaction concerning our sins. So far we have two of the seven, the condition of love and the character of love, but we also have four things about love itself. Number one, God is the source of love. God is the source. Love is from out of God. Secondly, from verse 8, the quality of love. God is love. His very nature is the quality of love. In our second section, the character of love, verses 9 and 10, we have the manifestation of love. God manifests it. God causes it to appear, to express itself. But it is not a human expression or activity, but a manifestation of God. And fourthly, God is the author of love. He is the author of love. It is not our love for him, but his love for us. He's the author. He's the source, and he's the author. And he has expressed that, manifested it to us through sending his Son to die for our sins. This is a tremendous text, as you can see. Seven parts that describe love itself. It helps us understand all the other passages in the Bible that talk about the fact that Jesus wants us to love one another. That it is not a human expression. It is not out of human effort to be a loving person, even though with some people that helps. I'd rather have some people put forth the human effort to be loving than who they are naturally. Makes it easier. But that's not the love of God. He is the source. It's his very nature. And when his Spirit moves, it manifests the love of God. And God is the author of love. It does not start with us. It does not come out of us. He loved us. We have not loved him. But now that his love is in us, his love is producing a love for Christ. He's giving us his love so that we might love him. It's all the provision of God. If you have been born of God, you have the love of God in you constantly. Giving us a concern and a care for the things of Christ, to learn of him, to care about what he thinks, what he would have us to do. Care about others and their spiritual welfare. Even concerning the necessities of life for our brothers and sisters who are without. Concern. Who puts that there? God does. If we're born of the Spirit of God, we should be loving, because it's a constant condition, the character of God's Spirit in us. We have five more sections throughout this chapter that helps us understand better what the Bible teaches about the love of God. But as you can see, we are the recipients of his love. We're not the source, we're not the authors, not a human activity or expression. It's all of God. Close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. We thank you that out of your love that abides within us, you give us a concern to serve you, to seek you, to learn of you. If Christianity is just a religion, then the way we go about our church and fellowship is a waste of time. But the concern you've given our hearts to learn of you, to study about you, to receive from your Spirit, it's all put there by you, or else we'd be dead spiritually and wouldn't care. Yet our flesh fights against your love. Yet the Bible says nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ, not even death itself. We're so thankful about your faithfulness, that your love overcomes the hostility of our flesh, and that you have poured out the love of God by giving us your Spirit. We thank you. We thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins. We thank you for giving us your Spirit through whom we live. We continue to learn more and more of your blessings upon us, which is the expression, the manifestation of your love. We thank you. We thank you that the motivation for all that you do is love. Provide for us that for which we could not provide for ourselves. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.